Around this world of ours, there are millions of prisoners. Those who are in the prison confined, and usually they are saying, I don't deserve this. Many of them are angry at the establishment, at the government, at the judges who put them in prison. Some seek to take vengeance. That's the way of the world. But contrary to all this, I want to turn to Ephesians chapter 3 and verse 1. I, Paul, the prisoner of the Lord, for you Gentiles. He didn't say he was a prisoner of Rome, even though in reality he was. Did I say in reality? No, he spoke in reality. I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Never once in those prison epistles of his did he call himself a prisoner of Rome. What the world does is incidental. But he did say he was a prisoner, which means he was bound. He was a captive. But he was a captive by choice, and a captive of the Lord by position. In Acts 20, verse 22, he sought to be in Rome all through his life. It was a fulfillment of his desire and prayer. He said in Acts 20, 22, I go bound. I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem. He was a captive. Even then, he said, I'm a prisoner of the Lord. Back in Romans 1, verse 15, he said, I'm ready to preach the gospel to you that are at Rome. And then in Romans 15, verse 23, having a great desire these many years to come to you. Going on to verse 29 of Romans 15, I am sure that when I come to you, I come in the fullness of the blessing of Christ. And the request for prayer in verse 30, he asked the Roman saints to pray for him that ye strive together with me in prayer to God. Man was to have no control in this. God was in charge, and when he did get to Rome, he could truly say, I am bound. I'm a captive of the Lord, not a captive of Rome. It's ironic that in Acts 25, verse 11, 12, when Paul was being threatened with death, he said, I appeal unto Caesar. In verse 12, have you appealed? Unto Caesar you will go. It was the Lord leading him. He appealed to Caesar. Now here's the way to get to Rome. Here's the fulfillment of my years of prayer, of my years of desire to go and preach the gospel in the center of the world, Rome. Later on, in Acts 25, verse 32, Agrippa said unto Festus, this man might have been set at liberty if he had not appealed unto Caesar. Liberty as the world looks at it, but not liberty as the Lord looks at it. The Lord wants every believer to be bound, to be his captive, to present our bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord. Romans 12, verse 1. He says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice unto the Lord, which is your reasonable service. It's the reasonable thing that if we belong to him, then we are to be bound in the Spirit to him. In Acts 23, verse 11, God gave his assurance to Paul. Be of good cheer, Paul, for as thou hast testified of me in Jerusalem, so must thou bear witness also at Rome. You're going to Rome. I'm going to send you to Rome. And so all these steps of getting there was the Lord's leading and the will of God. How would it be done? When would it be done? He wasn't told. And in our lives, how are we going to serve the Lord? We aren't told. It depends on our submitting ourselves to him. When does he want us to go and do it? We aren't told. Wait upon the Lord. wait patiently for him. Under what circumstances would he get to Rome? Well, he didn't know at the time. And it's good that we don't know the future, because we put it in God's hands. God's already there. He knows what lies ahead. He knows what should happen in our lives. But we are promised heaven. When? We don't know. But what will happen en route to heaven? We don't know. I recall some of the final words that my brother spoke to me. Later, a few days later, he died. He said, "I want to go to heaven, but I'm not looking forward to the experience that I must face to get there." Well, Paul may have had anxieties too. We don't know. We aren't told in Scripture, and it's good we aren't. He rested in the Lord, and he waited patiently for him. Now, in Philippians 1:1, he said, "I'm a servant of Christ." And when you're a servant of Christ, you obey none other. To obey another would be sin, wouldn't it? Paul's position? Colossians 4, verse 3. He asked the Colossian believers to pray, "With all praying for us, that God would open unto us a door of utterance, to speak the mystery of Christ, for which I am also in bonds." To speak. I want to preach the gospel to those in Rome as well. Pray for me. He asked for prayer in Colossians 4, verse 3. Well, he did get there. It took years. He did get there. He was a prisoner. And as a prisoner, you have no voice in the matter, even if the matters become worse and worse. We often hear of riots in prison. The prisoners take up arms and they revolt against the establishment. Paul didn't do that. We have this wonderful experience of Paul in Philippi. Acts 16, verse 25. At midnight, from the dungeon, down there in that dark, cold, wet place. Hurting, of course, he was physically. But we read, at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises to God. You know, he did a lot more than just make the best of it. Because God was there. "Wherever Christ is, 'tis heaven to me." That's a song we used to sing, oh, many years ago. "Since Christ, my soul from sin set free, this world has been a heaven to me." And mid-earth sorrows and its woes, 'tis heaven my Jesus here to know. Oh, hallelujah, yes, 'tis heaven. 'Tis heaven to know my sins forgiven. On land or sea, what matters where? Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Once heaven seemed a far-off place, till Jesus showed his smiling face. Now it's begun within my soul to last while endless ages roll. What matters where on earth I dwell? On mountaintop or in the dell, in cottage or in mansion fair, where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Christ was there with Christ, with Paul in prison. That's why he could say truthfully, "I'm joying in tribulation." The results of Paul's imprisonment. Oh, this thrills me. Reading Philippians 4, verse 22, one more of his prison epistles, he writes, "All the saints salute you." Now get this. "Chiefly they that are of Caesar's household." Now, as fellow prisoners, were they labor servants of the Caesar? Were they his own children, relatives? We don't know. We can guess, and we can rejoice as we guess. If Paul had not been in Rome, those of Caesar's household would not be saved. If Paul had not been in Rome, we wouldn't have his prison epistles. We wouldn't rejoice over the experience Paul had while a prisoner of the Lord. In Philippians 1, again, from prison, in verses 23 through 25, now bear in mind where he was. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and be with Christ. Oh, yes, I want to go to heaven. I don't want to suffer here, but I have a desire to depart and be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. And having this confidence that I know that I shall abide in the flesh and continue with you all for your furtherance and joy of faith. The Lord's not through with me yet. I'm still alive. I'm confined. I'm bound. I'm bound in the Lord. I'm the Lord's prisoner. And from prison, same book, Philippians 4:4, you know the verse, rejoice in the Lord always. And again I say rejoice. He is emphatic. Rejoice. Wherever you are, 'tis heaven to know. Where Jesus is, 'tis heaven there. Yet we complain. Oh, don't we ever. And over such trivialities. We complain that we are not able to get out and about because of this coronavirus situation. We're isolated. Quarantined. Oh, they complained when they were put in the hotel, 5-star hotel, mind you, everything provided for them, all expenses paid by the government, yet some of them complained. All we have is 4 walls to look at. We can't get out and enjoy the sunshine like all the other people. Never once do we find the Apostle Paul complaining because he was a prisoner of the Lord. Actually, aren't you and I to be prisoners of the Lord? And if we're in the Lord's hands, do we dare complain? Wouldn't that be sin? Complain with what the Lord's doing? The Israelites complained, manna, 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 it's all we have is manna. Can't we have some flesh? The Lord provided what they needed. My God shall supply all your need. We have the promise from Paul's letters again. God will provide. Jehovah Jireh is the words back in Hebrew. God will provide. Don't complain. Because where you are, Jesus is there. 'Tis heaven to me. How many even today have been and are being blessed through Paul's prison ministry? So Paul was a prisoner of Jesus Christ, doing only his will. And he was rejoicing in the Lord. He was joying in tribulation, earthly tribulation, but in the Lord it was all heaven to him. Oh, he was a prisoner. Even back on the boat, he was a prisoner. If you recall those 2 weeks or more that he spent on the ship going to Rome, that horrendous typhoon struck. Heavy water for a fortnight. But while on the ship, Paul actually took charge. That's astounding. He was a prisoner, a captive of man en route to Rome. I'm reading now in Acts 27, verses 25 and 26. Paul is speaking to the 270-some people who are on that boat. Wherefore, sirs, be of good cheer, for I believe God, that it shall be even as it was told me. Howbeit, we must be cast on a certain island. He is delivering God's word, which was delivered to him. Verse 31, same chapter, Acts 27. Paul said unto the centurion and to the soldiers, except these abide in the ship, ye cannot be saved. They didn't believe him. As proven in verses 42 and 43. Now he had spoken to the soldiers and told them what God had said. At the last moment, the soldiers took counsel to kill the prisoners, lest any of them should swim and escape. But the centurion believed Paul, and the centurion, willing to save Paul, kept them from their purpose. You don't do it. God's will was still being done. In these terrible circumstances. Yet Paul was not a prisoner of Rome. He made a choice. I appeal to Caesar. God honored that choice because it was God's choice that how he would get to Rome. And Paul knew that it was God's will for all this to happen, and I can do nothing but rejoice in all this physical turmoil. I can do nothing but rejoice because God is there. God is here. God is in me. I am his prisoner. I'm his captive. You and I are also prisoners of the Lord. Your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit which is in you, which you have of God, and you're not your own. You're bought with a price. You're his prisoner. You're his captive. You're bound to him. We are prisoners to be and to do of his good will. Isn't that something? Do you realize it? Can you fathom that? Can you understand that I'm bound? Bound in the Spirit to do his will. And what's his will? We're going to find out as we yield ourselves to him, a living sacrifice. Amen.